Good morning. It's wonderful to see you all today, as it is every week. So glad you're here. I'd like to speak to you today about feelings and the differentiation that I make between feelings and thoughts and emotions, which isn't extremely different. They're not very different from one another. They all emanate from the same source, our minds, and how we choose to use them. It's been said, and I've said it, that feeling is the secret. Neville said that, a great science of mind teacher many years ago, that what you feel strongly, you tend to bring about in your life because you pay attention to it. But there's also another aspect to this thing we call feelings, because sometimes they can work against us. Sometimes we're tempted to believe things about ourselves that aren't true, because we feel something based on something that we have gone through, either that we're going through now or in the past. Something that says to us, I am not the wonderful, perfect child of God that I'm told on Sundays, especially in New Thought churches. And one of the things that I believe very much is that if we don't have a fundamental shift of our mind and perception inside, the truths, the wonderful truths of New Thought can be lost on us. We say, that's not for us. I don't necessarily feel it. And I know that I don't feel perhaps deserving of it. These are impediments to our spiritual growth. It's as if we stand before the truth at all times that says, I am a whole, perfect, wonderful child of an infinite, loving God. Some of us resonate to that right away. Some of us say, that would be nice. And some of us say, I know me, and that's not right. My job, as I see it, is to bring these elements together so that wherever you are on your path, you know that you are perfect, whole, and complete, and that you are experiencing now exactly what you need to experience for your future growth. The fun thing about the spiritual path is that when we properly understand it, it doesn't condemn us for where we are, the mistakes that we've made, the choices we wish we had chosen differently about before, the ways that we've expressed. Every moment is new. God sees the truth about us. As a matter of fact, I've said before, God only knows perfection about you. The reason that's true is that God can't know anything outside of himself, herself, itself. Please forgive me for the pronouns, but you understand that mighty spirit only knows perfection. If it knew something else, it could be something else. And that's not what we see the infinite as. So our job is to align ourselves as best we can with his opinion of us. And the opinion that all the holy scriptures all over the world have talked about from the beginning of when they've been written is that we are individual expressions of divinity. And the feeling we have about that means a great deal. For example, in the very beginning, when religion was just being formed and thought about and talked about and started, many people that formed this said, we feel very separate from, very far from God, because we feel a collective or individual sense of guilt and fear. And you have to remember, during that time of the world, it wasn't understood that there were thunderstorms, Doppler radars, natural volcanoes, things that happened that could be looked at and perceived as the machinations of an angry God to this world. In other words, as we grew, we understood certain things as being part and parcel of being in this world, in this natural human experience. We found out that certain things are not emanations of an angry God, but part of nature, part of things that we experience on this planet. In other words, as our collective consciousness grew, our individual consciousness grew at the same time. And sometimes, As our individual consciousness grows, we form the collective. So you see how necessary we are to this process of God literally experiencing itself through us. I believe that we're each an aperture through which the divine expresses and experiences itself. The road that we have chosen to walk during this life is one where God experiences more of God. And we get to go along for that ride. In other words, we are so loved and we are so trusted and we are so such magnificent creatures that God has blessed us with the one power that nothing else has in this world. That's the freedom to think our own thoughts by choice. Now, we could say that there are some animals that may express that way, and that may be true, but not to the extent that we do it. We really get to decide what we think about whatever it may be that's in front of us. And by what we think, we form feelings. And sometimes by feelings, we decide what we're going to think. Now you can see why I've titled today's message, More Than a Feeling. Feelings are very individual, and they are sometimes flighty, and they disappear as fast as they come. Sometimes we have a feeling and we say, that is correct about us, I agree with that, whether it is or not. And then sometimes we thought things through and we say, I feel this is right or the truth about me, and it is. What I want to do today is to remind you of the different levels of this feeling nature and realize that some work for us and some work against us. How do you know what works against you? It's a feeling. You know deep inside when something isn't working for you because you feel that. And you properly say, this is something that I would like to at least be rid of or understand more about myself. So you see, in that way, they're very important. Feelings are guideposts to where you are at any moment. However, when you've made the decision in favor of your God self towards whatever it may be you're experiencing right now, it's safe and necessary to discard those feelings that brought you to that place. In other words, I'm not good enough, I'm not strong enough, I can't get through this, I don't know how this can be. These things that we think of in our human experience define us. Our feelings don't define us, our actions do. But our actions are based on our feelings. So I bring it back and say, there are healthy feelings and unhealthy feelings. Now we have two ways of looking at it, and what's the differentiation? Healthy feelings help you be more of who you are. Unhealthy feelings make you less and feel less than who you are. And anything that anybody says, no matter who they are, that lessens your feeling about yourself, that tells you you're limited in any way, and that you have to do something to earn the merit of the love of God, is telling you something that's incorrect. Unfortunately, religion through the years has said you're wanting, you're needing, you're broken, you must have our seal of approval, whatever that group was. And we did these things. We went through these machinations to please an angry or at least upset God. It wasn't until about the late 1800s in America that it came to be understood that we are God's own perfect creations. And it was done through the proper understanding of psychology and spirituality. Because Jesus, remember, said it first, have I not said that you are God's, and be ye perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect? There were all manners of scriptures that pointed to our inherent divinity. Those who were interested in separation and control focused on things that had to do with our guilt and our insecurity for even being human. It's been said, if you can control a person's appetites, if you can control those desires that they have, you've got them. And unfortunately, religion, through the years, took on itself the idea that if we control the people, We get what we want. And that's worked pretty good in some places. We see the effects of mass guilt, of mass inferiority, of mass saying you're not enough. I think the religion of the future will be one that's properly focused on what is right about us and what can be added to us in our experience, and not something that we're to feel guilty or feel wanting for. In other words, it's focus. What are you focusing on? What are we focusing on collectively? When you go to a doctor, he or she may focus on an illness for a moment, or two, or a week, whatever. But it's not the idea that you carry with you. The idea is we're going to heal you from this place to a place of health. You go back after being healed and the doctor doesn't say, remember what I did to you, and remember you were broken, and remember that, unless it's necessary for something for you to walk forward in your future with your health. What I'm saying is those things that don't serve you, those feelings that don't serve you, can be discarded and done right now if you've gotten the message or learned the lesson or have decided to make this decision in favor of yourself and walk forward without the encumbrance of your opinion or somebody else's opinion on you from the past. Throughout all of our lives, we know there are people who have spoken words in our lives that have hurt us, hurt our feelings, hurt the idea, image, and concept we have of ourselves. And sometimes they may have been right, but the way they said it left an indelible impression upon us. I remember somebody saying to me as a very young child, I'm glad that you're watercoloring, but you don't have the talent for it. And I very well may not. And it's been many years, and I'm still trying. But I didn't want that particular teacher to define me about what I could or couldn't do with watercolor. In other words, I wanted to find out for myself. And I believe that any good spiritual teacher encourages you to go in those places and do what you want to do, what you would like to do, even if you have been told or you feel it's not necessarily something that's going to work for you or you don't have the talent for it. Do it just because you want to. I do this watercoloring because it feels good. And although I tear most of it up and throw it away, it's still something that I'm enjoying doing. And actually, I'm getting a little better as time goes on. So if I had listened to that teacher, I wouldn't even enjoy buying the watercolors that I've done now and frivolously wasting some time on that paper with those colors. I do enjoy it. It's very therapeutic. I may never be a Monet or a Manet, but I tried. And what I want to encourage you to do is do the same. In those places where people may have spoken words over your life that call forth the lesser in you, forgive them and take the greater view. You see, the only way that we can have an inflated or conflated opinion about ourselves is to be egotistical and arrogant. And I don't know very many people who want to be that way. I think most of us in here want just more experience of life. And I'm saying sometimes you have to go out on a limb. We've heard that, to get to the fruit. And sometimes you just have to jump in a pool and see if the temperature's right. In other words, we learn by doing. And sometimes our mind works against us because we're afraid. We have the feeling that it's going to be uncomfortable, it's going to challenge us, and we don't want to do that. And not only that, we say, I don't want to do it now, and I don't want to do it probably in the future. And we set up a self-fulfilling prophecy. And guess what? We call it God's will. It's not God's will for you to be less than anything that you are. Matter of fact, it's God's will that you be more than what you are. Because Jesus said, these things I do, greater shall you do because I go to the Father. What does that mean? Jesus prayed that we all might be one and realize our connectivity to the divine. You see, he was a real fan of us. But unfortunately, the church has turned him into a finger pointer at times. One that says, you must do it this way to follow me. And I have a real simple answer to that. If you're acting from love, if you know inside that your motives are coming from the place of peace, love, understanding, health, wealth, happiness, prosperity, abundance, riches, loving, caring, sharing. See how it goes on? They're all positive. If you know that your motives are coming from that place, you won't make a mistake. You might find places you can improve, but you're not going against the essence of your being. But if you feel that you are lacking, broken, hurting, upset, any of the things that you may have told yourself or heard, you're not believing the truth. Because let's be honest about this thing, failure. Failure is a judgment we've imposed. But think about it. Really, failure is just a production of results. I may fail at knocking a golf ball into a cup, and I can say I'm a failure at golf, but really I just produced a result. Whatever you've done in your life that didn't get the results that you wanted, it still was a result. It's not something that you have to grab and say, I am a failure, I was no good, and I'll never try that again. Things that limit our future growth through our opinions are things that I think we need to learn to let go of. And there's a process for that that we can do. I do it every day. You may do it once a week here. You may have a time to do it for yourself. I've talked about it before. Meditation, visualization, contemplation, those things that we call spiritual exercises, spiritual practices, things where we release the lesser and claim the greater. Sometimes it means walking up to somebody who has challenged you in some way, perhaps hurt you in some way, and tell the truth. Say, I have been chosen to be hurt by the things that you've said, and I would like you to know that I'm changing my mind about it, and I may have misunderstood you in the past. Can we heal this right now? Now, they may look at you like you're crazy, but you are fulfilling the spiritual promise. You're going through and doing healthy communication in a positive way. You see, our words do mean things. Our words come from our feelings, and our words create feelings. So it seems like we're stuck in a hamster wheel all the time, but there are subtle ways to break that pattern. Metaphysics and new thought works. We know that it works because we've seen evidence not only, perhaps, if not in our own lives, in the lives of people that we respect and say, boy, I wish I could do what they do. Well, what they do and what they've done is be willing to go inside in that place where they might be unsure and they might be hurt and their feelings might say, I don't have this, and say, wait a minute, I'm willing to make another decision about myself. Who is the one really that oppresses you? If you get down to it, I think you'd feel and come to the conclusion that the ones that stop us are ourselves. We're our own impediments. And then what happens is because we can't take that critical truth about ourselves, we say, it's God telling me I shouldn't. It's God's will I shouldn't. It is not in it me to do this. And we've decided on the basis of spurious evidence. Let's walk back to the beginning. No matter how far we have to go to find out how it became so that we believed less about ourselves. It could be that it was teachers and parents and schools and all these things that we decided to collect as truths because we were too young to know any better, and they became solidified as opinions about ourselves that we call truths as we grew up. Or it may be a hurt we've just experienced, or one that was 2 or 3 years old. You see, life needs to be experienced through a windshield that we have of our mind that's clean. And we're the only ones that can do it. And it's not just by praying, and it's not just by saying affirmations. It's by going in and doing the work, tilling that soil that hurts and may have produced seeds of what I call poison plants. Those things that said, we're not good enough, we're not strong enough, we just give it up. Go back and revisit that place. Do some mental work. Get in there and tear up that ground of being that tells you you're less than you are and your feelings are true. The feelings are true when you feel the truth. I am a beloved child of a perfect God. And from there, I'll walk forward in newness of life. It's good to look towards the past to understand how we got here. It's bad to look to the past and draw a line and say, that's it, I'm finished, I'm not a human being, I'm a human doing, and I'm also a human miscreation. How many people do we see do that? And what is the fruitage in their lives? We see addiction, we see heartache, we see all manner of negativity because they have disowned parts of themselves that are desperately crying out for love. I don't believe that we want to really punish ourselves or other people. I believe we want to help people integrate those parts of themselves that may have hurt so that they can walk forward and say, that stone in my shoe, that thing that was hurting me has now become something for my highest good. You know, you take a steel rod and you break it if you can, and when you weld it back together, it's strongest at that place. We can become strongest at our broken, most broken places. In other words, that thing that hurts so bad can be used as a something for our highest growth later on. If it sounds like I'm saying take all the things that are disadvantages and make them into advantages, I am. And I'm saying the way to do that is to feel, go back and feel it, and decide to put a new feeling on top of that. A feeling that says, no, wait a minute, that was years ago, or this was minutes ago, but I'm still at choice and I can still change the way I think about this or that person or that situation. That's newness of life. But if we say, well, God makes it new and I'm just along for the ride, then everything else will be the same. Nothing will change. And we'll say, well, I guess God just wants me to ride this out. I never was good at. I always felt like he didn't. And there we go. Or she didn't, or what are those opinions that have unfortunately informed us about ourselves. Take a new attitude about what it is possible for you to do. No matter how old it is, no matter how long ago this happened, there's always this moment to choose once again. One of the things that I love about A Course in Miracles is that it properly shows us that we can heal our divided and split mind by just remembering who we are. And that we're not what we think we are. Yes, we have a personality. Yes, we have an ego. Yes, there are individual things that appear real. But the truth of you is that you're perfect. You're a divine child of a loving God. And you have purpose to be here. And while you're here, it should be as satisfying a journey for you as is possible. You're not meant to live in a way of negativity about yourself and others. You're meant to live a rewarding life. And what's more rewarding than overcoming those things you thought you couldn't? Those things that you believe defined you. You can break through those definitions with a simple decision. So it is more than a feeling. It is an action. And a new action will produce new feelings. And that's the heart of what I want to talk to you about today. Feelings to me are a constant over a continuum. And they're not changed unless we make a decision. And we make that decision many times unconsciously, very few times consciously. We just say, that's who I am, that's the person I am, that's the situation. Take stock sometime. Draw a line in the sand and say, I'm not going to necessarily believe this about me anymore. I'm not going to be on autopilot about me. Then what happens? You're better for yourself. You're better for others. You go out and create a world that works because you're believing the truth about who you are. Some people have said to me, affirmations in unity, affirmations by new thought authors, affirmations by whatever way they come, they just don't work because I don't feel they're true. And you know, I've spoken about this in the last 6 months a few times. They are true, but they have to be backed up by your feeling, by your belief that they're true. And that's one of the most powerful things that I could tell you today is that when you stand before a mirror, and you say, I am God's beloved child, and I have and deserve to be here. I have that spirit in me that is in God, and I can do this. Whatever this is powerful. It is an absolute paradigm shift for you. It may not be that you're going to heal the world, but you're going to heal your world. And when you heal your world, you're going to go out and have a much better chance of healing the world. And that's why I prefer spiritual disciplines that talk to the individual rather than mass movements that say we can correct you, we can make you better by what we say you should do. For a long time in one religion, it was believed that if you ate meat on Friday, you were going to a place of torment. And all of a sudden in the mid-60s, that changed. And now it was okay to eat that meat. And I wondered what happened to the people who had died before. Were they still in that torment, or did they get pushed up into heaven? See how silly we can be about religion. I'm not just picking on one group. It could happen in New Thought too. In other words, sometimes we take these truths and twist them in ways that are unrecognizable to what they really mean. Think about it, these words. To those leaning on the sustaining infinite, today is big with blessings. You think about those words. If you lean on the infinite, if you're really hearing that voice, if you're believing what it says, what the infinite says about you, it is going to be a day big with blessings. Even if it doesn't happen right away, you're going to be blessing yourself. You're for yourself. You're affirming yourself. And you're not looking to somebody else to do the work that is properly yours to do. Whatever it may be in your life right now that leads you to feel that you're not the best, can be the place where you have experienced and show the best from here on out. In other words, alcoholism, drug addiction, overeating, these things that are challenges, by an act of grace and an act of decision can be twisted, turned, and transmuted to what will be the blessing of your life. We always love overcomers in this world. We rightly applaud those who have taken something that was a challenge for them and turned it into something that not only blessed them, but everybody else. And the way that we do that is to feel one thing overall. I know I've talked about more than a feeling today, and I've given feelings a few knocks, and I've given feelings some praise, but there is one feeling that I want to tell you about. Never fails, and it's the one that is the warp, woof, sine qua non, zenith, and sub and substance of everything I'm telling you today. It's what you are. It's what you're made of. It's love. Love is the answer to every human problem that ever existed. Look at the life of Christ. Look at Buddha. Look at Emerson. Look at these people who said the lodestone of life is love. The ground of our being is love. The way through our human conflicts is love. Because if war was the way, we wouldn't exist anymore. Somebody had to believe that. Ernest Holmes once said, as long as 51% of the world believes in love, we'll go on. But if it ever shifts to the 51-49 that says we don't believe in love, we'll destroy ourselves. So let's be thankful that 51 at least, or 50.9 of us, still believe love is the answer. And any discipline, no matter what it is, that points you to the truth of your being in that unity, New Thought, even a fundamentalist church, if it says love is your essence and that's the guiding principle and should be for you, they're telling you the truth. And how do I know this? Because I've never seen in all the years I've been in ministry, and I'm celebrating my 18th this year, I've never heard somebody say, I loved too much. I've heard them say, I cared too much. I've heard them say, I did too much. But I never heard them say, I love too much. And the reason is because when you love, that takes in all that other. It overlooks many, many things. As it says in 1 Corinthians, it binds the wounds. It overlooks. It heals. It is the sum of our life, love. You can't love too much. That's who you are. And you're called to go out first to give it to yourself and go out and give it to the world. The love that I speak of that beats your heart, that wakes you up, that breathes you, is the very thing that you can claim right now. Now you can call it power. You can call it by any name that works for you. But it is the very sum and substance of who you are. Love is the answer. It really is. A lot of people thought in the 60s, when there were flower children and things like that, that love was overdone. No, it was just a different concept, and it became a part of mass consciousness at that time that we better love each other or we're going to end up killing each other. It's still true today. We've become a little more refined. We've come, we're a little more polished, but we still need that love. We need that every day. That feeling that is a feeling, but more than a feeling, and is the ground of your being, is love. Decisions made from that realization in you can only be perfect. Your job is to make sure that you are making those decisions through the lens of love and not through the lens of regret, recrimination, hurt, pain, misfortune. You get the idea. The one thing more than a feeling that is a feeling is love. Go out today and share it abundantly. Love outrageously, outlandishly. Give yourself that gift. The love that you feel for others is really secondhand. You have to feel it yourself. Oscar Wilde said, to love oneself is the beginning of a lifelong romance. Now, we've known some people who can be very egotistical about these things, and that's not the kind of love I'm talking about, that type of self-love. I'm talking about one that goes out and takes a risk and takes a bet on the belief of who they are. How wonderful that is. We've seen them. We know their names. We honor them. They have been with us from the beginning of time, and I believe they'll always be with us because they're our examples, and we remember properly what they did, and we respect what they did. From Jesus Christ to Rosa Parks to Martin Luther King, right on down the line, those who have called forth the best in us get our respect and our remembrance. I hope I've called through forth the best in each one of you, and that your decisions are made primarily in love. If you do that, you can't lose, because not my words, the Bible words, love never faileth. I give thanks for each one of you, and I love all of you, and I hope you have a love-filled week. And so it really is.